bad cop, okay? Just in case you were wondering. Hey, I'm excited. I am very much looking forward to our prayer practice. I very much think that everyone could benefit from it. It is a timely practice for us in the season that we are in as a church. So don't miss an opportunity to participate. Whether you're in a group physically or you just sign up to get the resources online, do not miss it. It will be very helpful. It will be very fruitful, and it will be very encouraging to you as well. So definitely don't miss that, okay? All right. Will you stand with me as we read God's word? We're going to be in Acts chapter 13 today. I'm going to read you the first three verses from Acts 13, and then I'm going to call out, "This is the word of the Lord," and you are going to respond, "Thanks be to God." Excellent, excellent work. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." This is the word of the Lord. Awesome. You can have a seat. One of my absolute favorite things to do in the world is to celebrate important moments. Who likes to celebrate big moments here? Yes. Okay, the rest of you need to get on board, okay? Those who raise their hand, they're the fun ones, okay? So take more advice, get around them, glean from them, all right? I love celebrating important moments. These celebratory moments are often represented by an anniversary of some sort, right? So we live in a culture that loves to celebrate all types of anniversaries. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Your birthday, that is the anniversary of your birth, right? Who here likes to celebrate their birthday? Who likes to forget how old they're getting? Okay, all right. We still love celebrating with you. We celebrate wedding and dating anniversaries. We celebrate the 4th of July, which is the anniversary of our independence as a nation. We celebrate Christmas, the anniversary of Jesus' birth. We celebrate Easter. Last week, that's what we did. The anniversary of Jesus' resurrection. Now, these are just a few examples of the major anniversaries that we like to celebrate. Typically, anniversaries are about one or two things, or really one of two things. They're about celebrating something or honoring something. Meaningful events that bring us joy and bring us happiness, we celebrate those with things like a party, right? Or a barbecue, or however happy thing we like to do. Meaningful events that remind us of loss or sadness or pain, they are often met with somber and symbolic gestures, but they too are anniversaries. In both instances, the goal is to remember. The goal is to remember the people or to remember the event that we want to celebrate. Anniversaries are important because they allow us to remember. We want to carry with us the people and the events that have shaped our lives. That is the essence of an anniversary. That is why they are so important to us. But anniversaries are also a great opportunity to plan for the future, are they not? They're also a great opportunity as we reflect to also think about what's coming next, to evaluate based on whatever the event or the anniversary is, what might come in the future because of this. Right? What is on the horizon as a result of this thing that we are celebrating? An example would be each year on our wedding anniversary, Thea and I, we sit down as part of our celebration and we set individual and shared goals for our life and our marriage, and we just talk about them. Now, I will admit, sometimes we go back to the very early ones and it's laughable as to what I thought was important, but I was 21, so I was an idiot, okay? But I love the exercise. I like absolutely love doing that on that day and that celebration. And while I love doing that, while I love celebrating the year that we were married, that we made it through, that she put up with another year of my nonsense, I do love celebrating that and thanking her for that. I also love to dream And I also love to look at what's coming next. That's one of the things about that exercise is like, hey, look at the year we had. Look how it was up and down in this area, or really hard in this area, or really great in this area. That's really important. But I also love setting our sights on, hey, look at the year we have in front of us. It's going to be a really great year. We make it a point to use our anniversary as a relational dream session. That's what I call it, a relational dream session. We value what was by celebrating and reminding ourselves what was behind us. And we remind ourselves that we have hope for the future things to come. We celebrate the things that are coming by setting our sights on the way that we want to grow. Anniversary celebrations are indeed important benchmarks to look back at things and laugh, to cry, to reflect, to celebrate, and to remember. But they are also a great way to measure the person or the people that we are becoming. Anniversaries are great. They're worth celebrating. They're worth remembering. Well, today marks a significant anniversary for Foundation Church for two distinct reasons. The first reason is this. 1 year ago on this weekend, we announced that Center Church would become Foundation Church, right? 1 year ago this weekend, we made the announcement that we were changing our name. And while I did not anticipate the amount of time and energy it would take to make that legal, our team really understands that, I am happy to report that 1 year later, we are finally there, including the culmination of getting our giving platform transitioned this week. I know, right? That is worth celebrating. So if you give digitally, you will finally, hopefully, see Foundation Church. Oh, man, definitely worth celebrating. The second reason is this. 1 year ago this weekend was the first weekend of the new era that is Foundation Church. 1 year ago, I stood in front of our church with our team, and I read you a letter that I had written to our church. And this letter detailed my heart as your pastor. It also detailed the vision that our team has for our church and the dreams that we had for this past year. Now, if you were part of our church 1 year ago, then you know that that was indeed a big moment for all of us. And because it's our anniversary, I want to take a few minutes and I just want to celebrate some of the wins we've experienced over the last year. So if you will allow me, let me just give you a list of a few of the many things that were amazing about this last year. First of all, we celebrated baptisms by baptizing 6 people. Super awesome, right? We celebrated multiple baby dedications. Now we have seen a number of new faces come and experience Foundation Church, the energy, the welcoming, the worship, the word, all of it. We've had a number of new faces do that. We had our first ever Meant for More conference thanks to Pastor Jessica and her team, and it was awesome. We had our first ever men's retreat thanks to Adam, who's sitting in the back corner. Adam, thank you for making that happen. By the way, the next one is coming this fall, so be ready, men. We added 4 staff members to our team. We continued to foster various ministry partnerships, including ones with World Relief, who Jared works for, our friend Jared over here, where we get to care for the refugee and the stranger. We're partnering with NUMA, where people can find faith-integrated mental health counseling and services. Partnering with Practicing the Way, where tools to foster healthy discipleship and spiritual formation, those are being made every day, and we are able to partner with them and support them as they support us. We launched the first ever iteration of our youth ministry, by the way, of our builders class, which, by the way, is happening right now next door in the gym. Super awesome. We had over 75% of our church participating in a home group. That's actually an incredible number. That's all thanks to Pastor Jessica, by the way. So great job. We did our first ever church-wide volunteer appreciation, where if you volunteered at Foundation Church, we celebrated you because you are really what makes our church tick. We established a prayer team. Took that long, but we did it. We added a number of people to our volunteer teams. We spent significant time and energy on the practices of Sabbath and fasting. We developed a church-wide rule of life that highlights the church that we are, and that's what this document is. This small little bookmark highlights the type of church that we are. So if you don't have one of these, please take one. Please read it. And we've gathered every week for the last year and proclaimed the gospel, loved God and loved one another to the best of our ability. Did we get it perfect every time? Of course not. We're people. But we did a good job. And I'm proud of our church. I'm extremely proud of our church. Now, these are just some of the great things that have happened over the last year. But there is one thing that I want to highlight the most. Because I believe that it is critical for us to celebrate this one thing. 1 year ago, when I read that letter to our church, I asked our church to be a praying church, to be a church that took prayer seriously. And I believed back then, as well as our team, and I believe even more strongly now, that prayer is the secret sauce of our mission. It's what makes us go and have any kind of positive impact in our community and in each other's lives. It is essential. Prayer is essential. Missional energy spent without prayer is like trying to bake cookies without heat. Right? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Brooks. Why would you ever do that? You can put all of the elements together, all of the ingredients. You can even put them in the oven, but unless you turn it on, you're just gonna have cold balls of dough. Now, I don't know about you, but cold balls of dough are not good. Well, they can be okay. They're fine. But man, a warm cookie, you apply that heat, it's magic. It's great. It's a gift from God. The point is, prayer is essential to everything that we do. And for that reason, we started with prayer. We continued through prayer. We were sustained by prayer, and we showed our gratitude to God by praying and thanking him for all the success that he has given us. This next year will be no different in this way. We still need to pray. We must pray. But something else interesting happened to me over the last year, and really to our entire church, our team, and anyone who's been here for any amount of time. For the first time ever, our church took seriously the biblical practice of fasting. Man, what a journey it was, right? What a journey it was. I remember many of our community group fasting on Wednesdays together, coming in to eat a meal together, famished and angry. And then we would just hug each other, and we would eat, and life was so much better again. Amen. In our study through the Gospel of Matthew, we encountered multiple passages where Jesus teaches on the necessity of fasting. We also spent time in our home groups, like I mentioned, learning about the spiritual and the physical benefits of fasting, and many of us carved out time throughout our life to actually practice the gift of fasting. And this is what I learned. For myself and through many of you, I learned that fasting and prayer, they are both a gift and they are incredibly powerful. They are incredibly powerful. When you put them together, they're like ingredients that come together and congeal into this powerful communication and practice where we literally see the heart of God at work in our lives. Now, this, of course, makes sense when you consider the amount of times throughout Scripture that show us examples where people fasted and prayed as they were preparing for big moments in their life. In fact, I've brought a few of them to your attention here. I'm going to read them. They're going to be on the screen. The first one is from Ezra, This is in the book of Ezra. The moment that we encounter is where Ezra is about to lead his people back to Jerusalem. He's going to lead a large group of people on a trip. And if you've even taken your kids or a friend on a road trip, you know that there's some stress involved in preparing, let alone an entire nation, okay? So this is what it says in Ezra 8, 21 through 23. It says, "There, by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road because we had told the king the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer." The next one's from Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah responding to the news that his people, that his family and friends were under attack and that his city, his home, was under siege. Just one simple verse from chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "When I heard these things," when he received the account of what is happening, "he sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven." Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, he's petitioning God to be merciful upon the Israelites in the midst of their rebellion. And Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 3 says, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes." And then in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, we learn about the prophet Anna, who had a word for Mary about Jesus. This is what it says in Luke 2, verses 36 and 37. It says, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Now, in the Bible, there are other examples, but the point I think is clear. Prayer and fasting are powerful practices for the apprentice of Jesus. If you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus, prayer and fasting are powerful practices for you. And often what we find in Scripture is that people used the combination of prayer and fasting as means for preparing themselves individually and collectively for a great journey ahead of them. Whether the journey was spiritual or physical or relational or emotional, whatever the journey was, they used that to prepare themselves to be ready to go. And that brings us back to our passage that I read to you earlier, our passage for today. I'm going to read it to you again, and then I want to talk about what's on the horizons for Foundation Church. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, once again says, "Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting," so we see that they are worshiping and fasting, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Okay, so a brief bit of context so you understand what's happening in this moment. The book of Acts is a historical book. It's an account of the history of the early church. And it was actually written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And it's meant to be consumed as one continuous volume. So you have the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts basically are one continuous story from the birth of Jesus through the birth of the early church and the works of the apostles carrying it forward. Therefore, Acts, the book of Acts, tells the stories of the people who took seriously and were faithful advocates for the gospel and the local church. They are the beginnings of who we are. You can trace our church, if you worked hard enough, I decided not to do this to you and to myself, our roots all the way back to this moment. All the way back to this moment. And that is insane, but awesome at the same time. Isn't it? To think that what they did was so powerful that the impact is being felt in this room right now. The good news was they were having a ton of success. They were having a ton of success in ministering to people, so much so that they needed to figure out how they were going to handle the amount of people who were coming to know Jesus as a result of the ministry. The number of churches that were sprouting up as a result of the work that they were doing around their land. They were having a ton of success. And that led them to this moment that is captured in Acts 13, where they were seeking clarity about next steps. They were seeking clarity about how to continue to carry the mission they were on forward. Their mission was clear. They knew what they needed to do, but they also had some success in how they were doing it, and they needed to know how to continue to do it. And so they were completely dependent, as we see here, on the work and the direction of the Holy Spirit to lead them down the right path. They were having success. They understood the formula, but they were still completely dependent on God to lead them in the right direction. And so they did what many had done before them. In order to gain that clarity, to clarify the direction, to understand where they needed to go next, they fasted and prayed. They fasted and prayed. Now, these moments recorded in the book of Acts are significant moments in the history of Christianity, no doubt. The amount of energy and the expense alone that it would have taken to document these moments is really hard for us to imagine, because we have technology where we can document everything about our lives as easy as it can possibly be, including what you ate for breakfast, how many calories were in it, what did it look like, how did it make you feel, and it's all on the internet, right? But not so in this day. It was so expensive to document. It was so time-consuming to document that the authors of these books, in tandem with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, had to make sure very clearly, this is what needs to be said. This is what needs to be said. There is no fluff here. There is not a wasted detail in Scripture, because it was such a time-consuming process. So when Luke decides to record the details about their time of prayer and fasting, it is because it was a big deal. Does that make sense? It's not just in there to be like, yep, they were praying and fasting and then blah, blah, blah. You know, it was a big deal. It made a significant thing to them. It meant a lot to them. It was a big deal in that moment. And it's also a big deal for those of us who read it and understand it today. Because what's happening is there is a precedence being set. There's a precedence being set where God's people pray and fast before they enter in a new season and a new journey of ministry. Now, I like to imagine, this is where my mind goes as I read these stories, I like to imagine the details of those recorded moments, especially the ones that are not recorded, those types of details, right? Like, it's my guess that as they gathered, they had been working, they had been traveling and doing ministry. That's what led to the success, that they had come together and that they were, you know, a little tired. And so they were probably having meals together and sharing stories and laughing and complaining about that one person, telling jokes, right? The things that we all do when we gather with the people we love. They were remembering the different experiences that they had encountered, and they were sharing them with one another, just like we do when we gather. They were people too. They liked to have fun. They liked to relax. But those details are not the ones recorded. That's not the story that Luke needed to tell. Instead, Luke made sure that despite all of the things that he could have possibly recorded in that moment, that he recorded that they prayed and fasted. We don't have to guess if they were doing that. We know that they were doing that. Because their season of prayer and fasting, before they did anything else according to this text, was and is essential information. It was and is essential information. And why is that? Because the precedence was being set. That before people enter into new seasons and new efforts of ministry, they pray and they fast. Okay, so just a few minutes ago, I listed a portion of the wins that Center Church has experienced, at least a few of them, over the last year. And I loved each and every one of them. As I was recounting them in my head, it just made me smile. It was helpful. It was a fun exercise. But here's the thing that I want us to know. We are barely just getting started. Did you hear me? We are barely just getting started. Year one of this new era was awesome, and I believe, and our team believes, and I hope that you believe that year two will be more awesome. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah? Not just because I'm prompting you? I want you to believe it because we believe it. Our team believes it, and I know through conversation that many of you really believe it. And so just like we did 1 year ago this weekend, I am asking us to recommit to being a praying church. I am asking us that as we head into year two and year three and year four and the years that God has set before us, that we would kick it off with a season of prayer. But this year, we're going a little further. And I'm going to ask for those who can to also join us in fasting, for a season of fasting and prayer. I am asking everyone who considers Foundation Church their church to commit to a season of fasting and prayer. How long? We'll let you know. We'll let you know. But for now, if you can commit, this is what it means. Simply put, traditional fasting, if you don't already know, traditional fasting means abstaining from food and calorically dense drinks for a determined period of time. And I recognize this, okay? I'm just gonna say it right up front. I recognize that for some people, fasting from food is not possible, and that is okay. You can, if you would like to, join us by fasting from something else, something that you maybe really enjoy, that will remind you. The exercise in and of itself is to induce you to remember both how good God is and the needs that we have. To remind you to pray, to remind you to give thanks and to make petitions for the things that you need. And for those who can fast from food, I would ask you to please consider doing so. You can fast a meal or part of a day or a whole day or multiple days. That is ultimately up to you. But if you fast, will you take some of that time and join us in prayer? Will you take some of that time and join your church in a collaborative season of prayer? Because powerful things happen when the people of God come together and fast and pray. And what should we be praying for? Here's how our church will be praying during this season of fasting and prayer. First of all, for us as individuals, okay? I would love for you to identify a need that you have and simply ask God to meet that need. The need could be spiritual, it could be relational, it could be financial, it could be physical. Whatever your need is, write it down somewhere where you can access it and begin praying that God would meet that need. You know what? We all have them. Every single one of us has a need. So during this season of prayer and fasting, ask God to meet that need in a particular way. And you know what? I'm not promising that God's going to answer it, especially the way that you want it answered, but I know God's going to respond to you. And it will be clear to you that God is responding to you when you petition through fasting and prayer. So as individuals, identify it and be praying for it. And then corporately, as a church, as a group, we have two specific things that we are asking for you to be praying about, okay? Firstly, for our mission. For the ministry that we do to make apprentices of Jesus, will you be praying that that continues to flourish? I would love for that list that I read you to be 100 times what it was this year. Can we handle that? Probably not, but that's God's problem. We'll figure it out, right? We spent lots of time and energy this last year refining our identity, establishing new patterns of discipleship and spiritual formation and ministry initiatives. And we spent time discovering the foundation that Jesus has called us to wisely build our lives on the practices that he teaches. When Pastor Jessica was mentioning that, that's what she was talking about. These are all practices that Jesus offered to us as solutions to the problems and ills of life. One of the pastors I love to listen to says, there's no command in the Bible that isn't for your benefit. Every command in the Bible is for your benefit, including practices like the ones that Jesus says, hey, if you want to be like a wise person who built their life on the rock, on the solid foundation of my teachings, then you will be a wise person and your life will survive the storms that life throws at it. But if you're foolish and decided to ignore these teachings, then your life will be like a house built on sand where the weight of life can crush it. That's why we're doing what we're doing. So if you could be praying that our mission and our energy would continue to flourish because the foundation has been laid and the mission is clear and the vision is clear and now we are going to build on it in year two. And I'm excited about it. And I'm hoping that you're going to get excited about it and continue to see the fruit in your life and in our life collectively. The second thing that we're going to ask you to be praying for is our need for a long-term home. Foundation Church is in many ways 10 years old. That's when we started the church 10 years ago. We celebrated that last September. But in many ways, as I've just listed, we are brand new. And we need to find a long-term home. Okay, we've been a mobile church since 2019. And eventually our time at Skyline is gonna run out. As sad as that is, because I do love it here, it's going to run out, and we need to find a long-term home. Now, next week, I will go into more detail about what we need and what we're planning for and how we're preparing for it. But for now, if you could just begin by petitioning God for the miraculous provision in this matter. If you could be praying to God, God, give Foundation Church the long-term home from which they can continue to build their ministry. We have big things ahead of us. We really do. We have big things ahead of us. But what is most essential before we get to that is that we are praying. I can't stress it enough. I cannot stress how important it is to be praying. And so your participation in this season of prayer and fasting is important not only to you as an individual and as a follower of Jesus, but it's important for our whole church. It's important for our whole church. And so I'm asking you, to whatever degree you're able and called to join us in this journey. Now, here's how we're going to organize it. Just a real practical detail, and then I'm going to close it down. We are hoping as a team that there will be somebody from our church fasting and praying for our church every day, 7 days a week. And so what I've done is I've created a little sign-up sheet back there by the black box that just has the days of the weeks listed and then just a bunch of empty spaces. And if you want to commit to praying for our church on one of those days, write your name in there. Don't worry about the amount of time you choose to fast or not fast at all, but if you can just commit to praying on that day and hopefully fasting on that day in some way, then you can just write your name on there. That way we know somebody in this church is fasting and praying every single day. That is how we would love to see it happen. And so before you leave, on your way out, just stop, grab the pen, write your name down. You don't have to write anything else. Just let us know that we can be praying for you as you do this, and we can be praying with you as God continues to answer the prayers that we have. So here's how we're going to close it out. I'm actually going to have the band come up. In just a minute, we're going to have a time of prayer and we're going to do communion, but I just want to make sure I reiterate this reality, okay? The people in the passage that we read today, the ones who were faithfully fasting and praying, they did not know the details of what God was going to do in their future. They had some suspicions because they had lived enough life to know some of the things that were coming. But they didn't know the details. They didn't know exactly where things were going to land on every given topic and every given circumstance, but they simply expected that whatever God was going to do was going to be miraculous, and it was going to be beyond the scope of human ability. They expected that the miraculous was going to happen, which is why they were fasting and praying, because they knew that the problems and the situations and the journey in front of them was just going to be too much for them to plan for on their own. There are many things about my day that don't need to be prayed about, right? Like what clothes I'm going to put on, right? Or maybe I do need to pray about that, depending on how you feel. But you get the point, right? What meal I'm going to pick, those kinds of things. But there are things about my life and there are things about your life that definitely need to be prayed about. Decisions you're going to make. Responses to how people treat you, right? How you're going to parent, how you're going to spend major sums of money. There is going to be things that you all, including myself, that we all have to pray about every single day. And just like the men in our text today, they didn't necessarily know the details. They just knew that they needed the miraculous, and so they fasted and prayed. I have big plans for our church this year. Our team has big plans for our church this year. But if there is anything I want more than to see our plans become a reality, is to see God's plans for our church to become a reality. Because what he has in store for us is bigger than anything we can imagine. And that also means that it is essential that we are praying together. Right? It's bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than even our team and our plans. Because God's going to do big things in and through our church. Proverbs 16:3 says this. It says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. If we stand any chance of accomplishing what I know we are capable of, what this church is a capable church of doing, of accomplishing, of ministering, of seeing the community impacted in the ways that we know we can impact this community, if we stand any chance of that, then we must commit to the Lord everything we do and trust that he will establish our plans. I love how the Message paraphrase says that very same verse. It says, "Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place." Put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. Today, we are collectively committing our dreams and our desires, our mission and our vision, everything we do as a church, we are committing it to God. That year two would be even more spectacular, and the problems that we face would be miraculously provided for, and that the winds would be incredible for God's glory. We are asking God to establish our plans, asking God to establish a pathway for more people to know Jesus as a result of the ministry of Foundation Church. We're asking God to be glorified through the miraculous provision of a long-term facility. We're asking God that the testimony of Foundation Church would be beyond believable for his glory. And we are asking God to continue to work in the transforming of each one of us into the likeness of Jesus each and every day. That's a lot. We can't do that on our own. We can't even do it together. We can only do it together with God. And so we must fast and pray. And I want to preemptively thank you for whatever level of participation you can, because it matters. It matters whether you pray for 1 minute this week for Foundation Church or 1,000 minutes. I don't even know how long that is. It's just a lot. Whatever it is, thank you, because it matters. Will you stand with me as we pray? In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I ask you to be thinking about that individual need that you have, that thing that's looming in the back of your mind, or maybe it's in the front of your mind because you have to deal with it right now. I just want you to know the verses that we read today, ones like Proverbs 16, tells you that if you commit to the Lord, that he will establish your plans, that he will establish your way. If you're committed to him, he's committed to you. And so I would just offer this opportunity to get prayer for those things. Over here underneath the storm, we have Karen and Mike, and they will be praying for you if you want, whether you go to them and pray for them by name personally, or whether you stay in your seat, just know that we are praying for you and for the things that you need to be prayed for. But if you would like to be prayed for, you can visit them. And so I'm gonna pray, and then I'm going to come back and offer us in the initiation of communion, and we'll take communion together, and then we'll sing one more song. But don't miss this opportunity to get prayed for if you really want to be prayed for. It is powerful. So God, we lift up these requests in our minds and these things in our hearts that we know need miraculous intervention, that we know are beyond our capacity to solve. God, whether it's something that we're hopeful for, something that we're dreaming about, or it's something that we have to deal with because this is a broken world, God, we know that you're in control of all of those things, that you see them all, that you see us in the midst of them all, and that you promised to never leave us. And so, God, as we journey through those things, as we journey through this next year, may we hold on to the promise that you are near us. And God, as a church, we have these things that we want to accomplish. We have this ministry, and the enemy is real, and he's working against us in so many ways. But God, I pray that we would not forget that the victory is yours, that you've already won the war. And so these battles that we're fighting, God, they're already won. So God, I pray that we would remain faithful to the call, remain faithful to our giftings and abilities, and that we would bring the kingdom of God with us wherever we go. May our ministry flourish, God, and as you can and only you can, may you provide for us miraculously in the ways through which we have a home and financially and through ministry, God. Only you can meet the needs that we really have. So I pray that you would do that through each and every one of us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, communion is the celebration of what's already happened. Jesus giving himself on the cross for our benefit. And he told his disciples and us through scripture that we should take every opportunity we can to remember that. Remember when I was talking about anniversaries and celebrating? Well, communion is like that, and we can do it as often as we possibly can. And so today we're gonna do just that. We're gonna celebrate the grace and mercy of Jesus through receiving communion. It's a simple act with simple elements, but it is a powerful reminder of the grace of God in your life, that he came and paid the bill for you, that he loves you, that he's totally aware of everything you're dealing with down to the finest detail, and he cares about it. That's incredible. And today, as we observe communion, we are reminding our body through taste and touch and smell that that's true. That's why we observe communion. So I'm gonna pray for the elements, and then you can grab communion, return to your seat. We're going to close with a song and a blessing. Father God, thank you for these elements, this reminder, the goodness that it is, that we can taste, touch, smell, a reminder of your grace and your love and your mercy in our life. And so God, as we're sitting here and maybe we're under immense weight, God, maybe we'd be lightened a little bit by that reminder, that as we take the cracker and the juice, that we would be reminded that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Feel free to grab the elements. If you would like to be prayed for, please.